What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Bridging the Geekdoms, the podcast that talks about all things in the geek and nerd world, such as movies, comics, TV, music, and oh so much more. I am one of your hosts, Robert Slavinsky, and with me, as always, is the righteous Colton Bird.
Hi. Such a modest intro.
It's all right. We last talked last week about some stuff. Now we're talking this week about some stuff.
Yeet.
Yeah, how about that?
Next week we're going to talk about more stuff.
Whoa.
But it's different than this stuff.
Really?
Potentially.
Maybe.
I don't know either. We take it as it comes.
This week, though, we got some cool things lined up. Obviously, there was a couple trailers that dropped this past week. We'll talk about those.
Don't worry, we picked them up.
There's some video game news out in the world in regards to Xbox Live, as well as a new game by Respawn Entertainment. That's kind of exciting.
And rest in spaghetti to a company.
We're also going to start our Endgame build-up. Every episode starting from today until the week of Endgame, we will be talking about something in regards to Marvel Cinematic Universe. Specifically, we will be talking about each character involved in Infinity War up to Endgame, where they came from, what happened at the end of Infinity War, where they were at the end of Infinity War, where they will be at the beginning of Endgame, and where we think they'll be at the beginning of Endgame, and where we think they will be at the end of Endgame. That is kind of what that whole thing is going to be. Hopefully throughout these next, 8-9 weeks, we're going to have some guests on the show to help talk about this and really push that. I know that John Horsley from Spoiler Country wants to jump on, I think, in our Spider-Man episode.
Yeet.
I know that Rachel, who has been on the show in the past, she wants to jump on for a couple shows. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to try and get Deej on here as well from Nerdtalkalypse. See what happens with that. But yeah, that's going to be this week's episode where we're just going to talk about some random things that happened this past week. Good times.
We're going to do our Avengers pregame.
We will have an Avengers pregame episode. We will then have our Avengers
post-game
episode.
Or hitting you with the great post-game coverage.
Yeah, so
interviews.
There'll be, you'll come to us for the pregame, you'll go to the theater for the endgame, and then you'll come back to us for the postgame. That is the idea.
And we wrap it dab away.
Rap-a-dab. But before we get started on all that stuff, we'll start off the show as we always do. And Colton, how was your week?
I did some work. Went bowling. Was snowed in most of this week.
Snow sucked this past week. It's crazy. Pennsylvania, we got hit with the weirdest freaking, weather system known to man. It was, snowy, then it was, ridiculously cold, below zero, minus 24.
Yeah.
And then the past 2 days it's been 50 or 60 degrees.
Yeah. And PA weather for you.
That's been the last week. From last Monday to today, it's been like that.
It's been hellishly weird.
Yeah. Bizarre. But that's Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania. Yeah.
That's Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's pretty much how it is.
Rest in spaghetti.
That's all you did.
Oh, I finished Red Dead 2. Formally finished Red Dead 2.
Oh, boy.
That was sad. I was sad that it's over.
Well, now you can finally play online with me.
Yeah. Well, I got to finish the last 4.6%.
Oh, my God.
I got 4.6% left to go, and then I've 100%ed it.
Oh, jeez. Look, I'm going to be 100% Spider-Man. It's just taking me a long time to do it, but I'm working on it.
Spider-Man's my next one.
I'm working on it. Anything else?
Not really. I've 100%ed Spyro.
Yeah, well, I mean,
but that's kind of a game that you can sit down and do in 3 days.
Yeah.
Outside of that, not really anything. Watch the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl, yeah. That Super Bowl, man, that was a tough game. I mean, come on, dude.
For any casual football fan, yes.
Look, I mean, we were talking about it earlier. For me. I'm all for it. I like the NFL where it's the passing league, where it's just, constant scoring. That's what I enjoy. That's what most fans enjoy nowadays. Old school football is the
defense just beating the crap out of each other.
Exactly. Hard hitting, just running the ball constantly. And that's essentially what this game kind of was.
Yeah, it was a very defensive game.
It was more defensive than anything. And I mean, I knew the Pats were going to win. I just knew that they're not going to lose a Super Bowl 2 years in a row.
Well, we just lost half of our viewership.
damn it. But honestly, I if you thought that the Patriots were actually going to lose, Come on now.
I didn't want them to win, but I was like, it's the Rams.
Yeah.
Half their team was in middle school when the Patriots won their first Super Bowl.
That's true.
Like, you're not lying. Their coach was in high school, not even exaggerating.
No, you're right. That's crazy.
You could tell that they just weren't there. They've never been there, and they don't know how to play
I mean, yeah, you could tell they were never there before, and, you know, the more experienced team absolutely won.
So not by much. They hung in that game.
The defense. The defense. Defensively, that game was fantastic. When you look at defensive-minded games, like, that was so good in that sense. But honestly, I mean, does anybody really watch the Super Bowl for the Super Bowl anymore?
I mean, I do. I like football, though. Football's my sport.
I like football. I hate the NFL. What I watch is I watch for the commercials.
And those sucked.
And they sucked. This was absolutely the worst year ever in my 33 years of living and watching, and I don't know how long the commercial things have been big. But I remember being a kid when I was maybe like 6-7 years old. And I remember being a kid and watching for the commercials, you know? So since then till now, this was absolutely the worst year for commercials.
Everything I wanted to watch came out in the first quarter.
And I mean,
like, all the trailers and everything that was notable.
Well, that's the thing. Like, now they're pushing trailers during. Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I want to see a Captain Marvel trailer. I want to see an Endgame trailer. I want to see that stuff. But I want to see funny commercials. I want to be entertained especially during a game like that.
Yeah, where you're not really. You need the pickup.
Yeah.
And even the halftime show was bad.
Oh, God, that was ass, dude.
The best part, the 5 seconds SpongeBob was on screen.
Honestly, it was horrible. Adam Levine sounded terrible live. I don't know if that's how he always sounds live, but he sounded horrendous. And then the whole, there's Nipplegate 2.0 now, but not from the same standpoint as it was with Janet Jackson. Now people are freaking out, like, why does Adam Levine get to show his nipples and not Janet Jackson? Like, that doesn't make
any
sense.
Come on, show me the nipples. Let's go.
Like, they're like, they want equality. Like, these people were like, oh, it's not fair that Janet Jackson got shunned for it and Adam Levine's not. Well, first off, it's always been acceptable for guys to take their shirts off in public. Yeah. Always. I mean, since I've been alive, it's been acceptable.
Yeah. And before you were alive, it was acceptable.
Yeah. And you know, if you want to change the rules, why are you going to then oppress men, huh?
Yeah.
I'm not getting political here.
Or why are you going to blame men for sexualizing women? That's equality.
God damn, we just lost the other half.
I mean, it's true, though. Like, the few seconds we talk politics, like, you can't do one without the other.
Yeah, it was a little bit annoying. It just, people freaking out online. But
it's the same people that, like, grew up licking windows and are now boys that were girls and stuff. It's weird.
No, you're right. It's just everything has to be politicized. Yeah. Everything. It doesn't matter what it is anymore. Social media has opened up this doorway where everybody thinks that they have to politicize everything. Yeah, and it's just so annoying.
Whatever. Like, who really cares?
Exactly. Sit back. Enjoy the show.
Yeah. The show. There's not much to enjoy there.
No, there wasn't. There wasn't.
But damn it, try to.
Yeah. At least criticize it for the right things. Yeah. On how it was a terrible show.
I mean, I will say SpongeBob was cool and the way the one guy came down in a fireball.
But he didn't really come.
Yeah, I mean, but that looked cool on TV.
I didn't think it looked that great.
I mean, it didn't, but it still was one of the high points in the Super Bowl.
People are freaking out about the lanterns. Like, they're trying to figure out, how are the lanterns doing that? They're freaking drones, people. Like, come on.
This is the 21st century. I don't know. People are throwing potatoes out there with lights on.
They did the drone thing last Super Bowl. So why are people freaking out about it now? It makes no sense.
We're just disappointed we didn't get Left Shark again from the Katy Perry performance.
God, was that like 10 years ago, man?
Realistically, I think like
honestly,
five.
The Janet Jackson thing was 15 years ago this
year. That's crazy.
15 years ago this year.
That's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely nuts. Look, all I'm going to say, and I say this every single year, when it comes to the halftime show, there's only one person that they need to get for the halftime show. One person. And that's Weird Al Yankovic. Now, hear me out, because people are like, oh, probably Weird Al. Why would you get Weird Al? No, it makes perfect
sense.
Because
it's Weird Al.
He is the one artist in this world that is specifically built for a halftime show. Because what does he do? He does parodies of other songs, of all songs, of all genres, okay?
And he's one of the three people that can still play an accordion.
So what you do is you get him, all right? And you do a total of maybe 4 or 5 songs, okay? But not complete, start to finish. You know how they always do, like, little melodies and stuff of it. But the first, like, 3 songs are just him. Just him, some of his classic hits. Him on stage at the Super Bowl doing what he does best, okay? And then What is he best known for? His polkas. He makes a Super Bowl halftime show polka specifically just for the Super Bowl.
That'd be okay? dope.
And the songs and the artists that he utilizes in that polka come out on stage with him.
And do their parts with him.
For the polka. So not only are you getting multiple artists there like they like to do now for the Super Bowl, but you're getting almost every single genre hit, whether it's country, rock, alternative, rap, R&B. You will get all of that hit in this show, and it's Weird Al. So he's going to make it fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. It's not going to be people jumping off of ceilings and running around the crowd. No, it's going to be fun stage work. And that is what they need. And they build that up. If they they should announce today Weird Al Yankovic is going to be doing it next year.
Super Bowl 54, Weird Al Yankovic.
And they need to start building it up from this point moving forward. Just build it, build it, build it, build it. The hype. And that 5% of viewers they lost this year,
it'll be back.
Not only will that 5% be back, but the whatever percentage they lost last year will be back. And probably from the year before will be back. That is what will happen because it'll be exciting. It'll be different. It'll be cool.
Yeah.
That's what they need to do.
The only thing is kids these days are like, who's Weird Al Yankovic?
But it's an excellent opportunity to
show them.
To show the world.
I mean,
the kids of this generation, this younger generation, who he is.
That's like getting the Stones again.
That sucked, dude.
I'm not going to lie. I like Lady Gaga's performance
good.
Was real good.
Bruno Mars was good a couple years ago also. I thought his was pretty decent. Not great, but it was decent. Prince's was probably the best in the last 15 years.
Wow. That's Prince.
Yeah.
Only one dude can sing Purple Rain during the Super Bowl.
that's all for Super Bowl.
Moral of the story, women show your tits for equality.
Tits out for equality.
Free the boobie movement.
Oh, God.
We got political, and we rounded it out to me being dumb.
So, we had some trailers drop this weekend.
Let's pick them up individually.
Not really trailers, but TV spots.
Yeah.
The two Marvel ones, obviously, were Captain Marvel and Endgame, which were amazing. The Endgame one dropped first. And it was interesting because it quickly, in the beginning of the TV spot, it does quick shots of all of the known heroes in the MCU that we lost due to the snap. And, you know, it shows Janet Van Dyne, it shows Nick Fury, it shows Spider-Man, it shows Doctor Strange, Falcon, Scarlet Witch, Black Panther, all the Guardians, Bucky, and Vision, which Vision is kind of weird because he wasn't lost through the snap, so that's kind of weird that they put him in there. But
I mean, technically, if you're gonna go that route, then technically, she's part of the Guardians anyway.
Yeah,
I say Gamora, but she's part of the Guardians.
And she's in the Guardians picture they have. But that was really cool how they like honor them.
They don't honor Loki.
No.
Or Heimdall.
No. And we'll get into that a little bit.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool, but then it just went into the TV spot where it actually shows the Avengers preparing, getting ready to actually.
Do something.
Yeah. What are they going to do? Who knows? But they are getting ready to do something. Yeah. It looks like they're getting ready to go to battle, go and fight Thanos, you know, and we see Cap put on his shield, which was kind of cool.
Or take it off.
No, he was putting it on.
Or taking it off. I mean, yeah, probably. It's weird though, because it's you can very noticeably tell they edited stuff out of it.
Oh, absolutely!
Like it wasn't even like discreet at all.
Yeah, it shows Tony building or doing something with Nebula in the background, which is kind of cool.
Which means like he doesn't die.
Or is that before he is out of air, or is that like after? Or we don't know, because honestly, that all that shows us. Is that he's
not completely
still in space
alone.
And he's not alone. Like, is that before he thinks he's going to die, or is it after he thinks he's going to die? My guess is this. The movie starts off where he sends that message to Pepper, and Nebula comes over like, hey, we need to try and survive, and then they go and do that little montage of building shit, you know?
Yeah. A Fortnite montage, complete with flossing.
So there's that.
And Captain America does indeed say banana. There was an article on Facebook that people think that he said banana during the trailer.
Oh?
Yeah. He says banana, I guess. I don't know.
I didn't hear it.
Banana.
Banana.
Nothing more intimidating and somber than saying banana.
Now we got also a Captain Marvel TV spot, which I this completely sold me on the movie. Like, the last trailer was good. I was all hyped for the movie, but this
Super Saiyan Captain Marvel was pretty dope.
Yeah, but this TV spot, it really amped me up. And
we get Super Saiyan Captain Marvel.
They are still pushing the whole woman aspect. I get that, and I understand that. But
don't wedge it down our throats, please.
But they're not. Like, this, I don't think this TV spot really did it. I liked how they were, how the higher, further, faster was kind of utilized through it, and it was kind of cool because, you know, it starts off with Carol, you know, walking with her, I guess it's her wingman or wingwoman.
Nice.
And, you know, we got to show these men how it's done, and Carol goes, higher, further, faster, baby. And then that is the theme through the entire TV spot, and it goes, like, it's beat by beat, and it goes higher, and you see her standing up in the Air Force Academy or whatever it is, and then there's like a couple of little shots, and then it goes further, and then it's her standing up in the subway as Captain Marvel, and then there's a few other shots, and it goes faster, and it's her flying through space, like shooting shit out of her hands and like doing stuff,
key blasts and stuff.
It just looks really cool. Like, it really amped me up, absolutely. So I cannot.
I mean, you got what, 1 month?
Yeah,
or maybe probably closer to. I think it comes out at the end.
No, it's
beginning.
Early March.
You got like a month.
I can't wait.
It's going to be dope.
I'm looking forward to it. Alita Battle Angel comes out soon, so I can't wait to see that.
Had a TV spot during the Super Bowl as well.
Yeah, I think that's this Friday.
I've heard bad things about it.
No, critics actually love it. Critics
I've heard that,
like
it has a lackluster story.
But a lot of people are saying that the CGI is kind of off-putting. Like, her eyes are really bad, but it has a really good story, I've heard.
So. I've heard the opposite.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to see it.
I mean, I'm going to see it regardless, so it doesn't really matter. I still need to see Escape Room. I was so mad this week. I just wanted to see one movie.
Oh, we also got a Toy Story TV spot.
I watched literally up until the point where Buzz was zip-tied, and then Key and Peele started talking, and I turned it off. I'm kind of interested to see how they got to the carnival, though.
Yeah, I mean,
because, like, last we know, they were, like, dropped off at another kid's house.
Yeah.
And Bo Peep. Yeet, yeet.
Maybe the house became the carnival.
Did you see the subtle, like, Star Wars hint at it?
No.
Bo Peep is dressed up as Rey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, her, you know, the cane she carries?
Yeah.
It's tied like Rey's staff in Episode 7.
I'm going to the trailer I'm watching right now. Let's see.
Boop, 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 boop.
Well, not there.
Not to have dead air. I'm going to sing while Bob watches the trailer.
Nope, not in the trailer. Yep. She's not like that.
Maybe it was promotional art then.
Yeah, maybe. Not at all. But anyways.
I know I saw it somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the only big trailer. I mean, there was a Twilight Zone trailer.
Yeah, that was pretty
from
cool.
Jordan Peele. But I'm kind of mad that it's going to be on the CBS streaming app.
When there's a will, there's a way. You'll find it somewhere else. Maybe.
I'm just kind of mad about that because I'm interested in seeing it. I like that. I like anthology type of stuff. Like, I really do like the anthology style of storytelling and everything like that. So.
Man, that's a sick segue you got there. that was pretty dope.
So speaking of anthologies, a special episode of Bridging the Geekdoms dropped this week, actually early Monday morning, called What is the Ines Anthology. Now, I know I've been talking about it for the past few weeks, the Ines Anthology. I sat down with John Horsley from Spoiler Country. He has written a comic book and even did some of the artwork for it. He has a whole bunch of people who inputted some, you know, writing, some art, some inking, some tracing, some whatever you want to call it. A bunch of people got involved with making this book, and he is doing a Kickstarter right now to get it made. And I sat down with him and talked to him for about an hour regarding this book and what it means to him and everything like that. So I'm going to play a quick little taste of it for you here. Make sure if you really like it, you can find it on our feed. So here you go.
Writers have done more than just, you know, do a cash grab for money. Does that answer your question in a long-winded way?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that was pretty long-winded there. The one thing that really grabbed my attention with this is the anthology aspect. Anthologies are one of those things in today's world that are there's always a place for it. And you know, take a look at what's on Netflix right now with Black Mirror. I mean, that's an anthology series, and it's huge. People love it. I mean, obviously, you know, we're not going to compare this to that because it's two completely different types of storytelling models, kind of. But it's anthology, that idea is big. I mean, people like, you know, they're talking about bringing the Twilight Zone back, which was another anthology series. So people like,
I love the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, yeah. So people like, they want this kind of stuff. It's just, now it's going to be about getting it out there. I did read out of the sample that you gave me, what was there, 4 stories? I think it was actually what it,
yeah, there's about,
I was able to read 3. Like I said, there was one that I couldn't see, like it wouldn't let me zoom in to see it, so that was kind of disappointing. But that one was
crap. Don't worry about it. Okay. Just kidding. I'm kidding. There's no crap in the book. I promise you.
the one thing that really stuck out to me, and it was like the first thing that I messaged you was the idea of the, you know, like the paranormal, or the, you know, just the monsters, the otherworldly. Like that was one of the first things that popped out to me. And I asked you, I was like, hey, so like, are you into that stuff? But you had an interesting response. So can you dive into that a little bit? Like, are you into that kind of stuff?
Uh-oh, you got to hear the rest of that by going to our feed and finding that episode.
At Bridging the Geekdoms on your local podcasting streaming service.
No, sitting down with John was great. I apologize, my interviewing skills aren't great. It's really the first real interview I ever had to sit down and do with anybody. So sorry if it's not the greatest, but that was a good time sitting and talking with him about the Ions Anthology. I already threw some money into Kickstarter. He's almost halfway to his goal to get this book made, and there's still about 29 days to go in the Kickstarter. So I encourage all of you to jump on there, support him. You can support him as low as $10 to get like something for it. Yeah. I think, I can't remember, but take a look at it. Find that episode on our podcast, stream, because you're gonna like what you hear. I'm telling you, it is one of the most ambitious comic books that I've ever seen for quite some time, and just the plan, the idea, everything that he has done with it already. And you can hear about all of that in the episode that dropped earlier today, or earlier Monday morning. So check that out.
Not today.
All right. So there's a little plug there for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear the DC stuff that's going on right now?
There was a lot that happened. I didn't catch up on all of it.
There's a lot that happened.
If you want to hear that episode, check into the Fandom Vibe.
Yeah, on the Fandom Vibe, I did a DC Overload episode, because last week on, I want to say it was Friday, maybe, or no.
Thursday.
Wednesday or Thursday.
It was a day I was off, so.
Yeah, it was probably Thursday.
Yeah.
Was it Thursday? Whatever day it was.
It was last week.
It was last week. We just got an overload of DC information.
They're like, here you go.
So Batman has a tentative release date of June of 2021. That is what they're looking at to get it out. And some other news with the new Batman film, which is being directed and written by Matt Reeves. Ben Affleck shared a tweet where it said Ben Affleck out as the Batman, blah blah blah, new Batman due out June 2021, and Ben Affleck retweeted that stating, I look forward to seeing what Matt Reeves does with this movie. That is what is said. That isn't him saying I'm stepping down as Batman. That's not blah blah blah, anything like that.
He's not confirming nor denying anything.
Exactly. But the writing's on the wall, people. He's out as Batman. Why is he out as Batman? Why is the writing on the wall? Because they have stated that they are going for a younger take on the Caped Crusader.
What you guys don't know is I've been casted as Batman.
the latest rumor for who's cast is Robert Pattinson from Twilight.
As long as he's not a sparkly vampire, I don't care.
Honestly, I don't hate the idea. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, you know, he could probably pull it off. He needs to bulk up a little bit, but not a lot.
Yeah, that's not out of the realm of possibility for Hollywood.
So, I honestly, do it.
As long as Kristen Stewart isn't in the movie, I don't care.
Catwoman.
Oh, guys.
I really don't like Kristen Stewart either. She can't act. No, she can't. She's so wooden. It's so bad. It's so bad.
She's the female Michael Cera.
Yeah. So some other news that came out was the upcoming Suicide Squad sequel.
Which is not Birds of Prey.
It's not Birds of Prey. What's Birds of Prey? We got a little trailer. I think we talked about that last week. There was a little trailer that dropped for that.
I wouldn't say it was a trailer.
Yeah.
It was like a character show off.
Yeah, a little tease. So, you know, we got that. But Suicide Squad is now going to be called, the next film for the Suicide Squad is going to be called The Suicide Squad. That's what they're calling it. At least that is what the production name of it is. The title may change. You know how that can happen from time to time with films. But they're stating that the title of it is The Suicide Squad. Written by James Gunn. Of Guardians of the Galaxy fame. And he is in line and most likely going to be directing the movie as well. At the time, I read a report when I was doing last week's episode for the Fandom Vibe. I read a report that said that it was confirmed, but since then I've read that he's still in talks, but he's probably going to direct.
Yeah, there's like a good 85% chance.
Exactly. What's interesting about James Gunn, some news dropped also after that, was that he was actually offered to do the Man of Steel sequel. I don't think it would have worked with him.
No.
But it shows that Warner Brothers and DC are trying to make a sequel to Man of Steel. So what you want to say or think about what's going on with DCWB, they are actively looking to make a Man of Steel sequel. So hopefully that happens and we get some news about that sooner.
Proud of them.
Yeah.
They're making moves. Subtly.
Subtly. But the Suicide Squad is due out in summer of 2020. Is that right?
I think it was,
I think it was summer of 2020. Or late 2020 or
it's
2020 sometime.
Next year.
So that's going to be happening. You know, we got Wonder Woman, we got Birds of Prey coming out.
I'm like low-key excited for Wonder Woman.
Oh, I'm not low-key. I'm all excited for
Wonder Woman. I mean, like, I got, well, we have Captain Marvel next month, we have Endgame the month after.
I mean, that's like, that's an excitement that is there, but it's like, it's, there's so much other stuff before
it's low-key.
Exactly. It's not low-key, it's just kind of like it's underneath all the excitement from everything else. So
I think Warner Brothers isn't really doing anything right now because of Endgame, because they know just Marvel's gonna wipe the floor with everything.
It's kind of interesting that all this information for DC dropped late last week, because they knew that there was going to be Marvel news this weekend. So they're like, well, let's get our shit out there first.
Yeah.
That way people, it isn't overshadowed by, you know, Marvel. Endgame trailer, Captain Marvel trailer, you know, maybe some Star Wars news might be coming up soon, because I was wrong on predicting when the title would be released. Unfortunately, but I mean, I'm not in the know. I just was a, it was just a prediction.
I was kind of disappointed we didn't see anything.
Dude, we were not going to see
anything. Well, I mean, like, there was a 5 second trailer, title drop.
I've been trying to tell you and all of our listeners to not expect any kind of teaser trailer
until... I didn't expect it. I expected the title drop.
Until Celebration. We're not getting a single trailer, footage of the movie until Celebration. I can guarantee that.
I mean, I just want...
And honestly, at this point, why would they drop the title until then?
I don't know, because like, I want a title, damn it.
So do I. But there's
Star Wars Episode 9, Chewbacca on a horse.
This is when we're going to get the title. You want to know why we didn't get the title yet? Because production isn't completely wrapped. They will drop the title when production is completely wrapped. They did it with Solo. They did it with Last Jedi.
It gets it 2 days before the movie
comes
out.
That's how it's going to happen.
What?
No, production's almost wrapped on it.
No, but wouldn't that be funny? Be like, oh, we're making you wait 2 days before it comes out. That's it. Star Wars Episode 9. Raylo. Mantis. Attacks the Sith with a hope of striking back against the Jedi. Awakening the Jedi. Last Jedi.
Awakening the...
Yeah, awakening the, and then that's the title's the last word.
Poop.
Nice. Awakening the bowels.
But honestly, you know, I think if we get a title, it'll be once production is done. They'll drop the title because they'll be like, look, production is done on. Ba-ba-da-ba! And they'll show the title.
Star Wars Episode 9, Endgame. Disney's just going to ride the Endgame train.
Toy Story 4, Endgame. Dumbo, Endgame.
No, they'd have to retcon Toy Story 3, have the bear kill half of the toys. Like, half of them don't make it out of the incinerator.
No!
But then some freak accident happens at the carnival and they come back.
Yeah.
But they're not the same. They're body doubles.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. What else happened?
Wouldn't it be crazy?
Video game stuff dropped also this week that I want to talk about. Microsoft dropping a big bomb this week.
They're like, Microsoft's like, we're just going to do it.
So we're going to take over
video game.
Yeah, we're just going to monopolize gaming. Yeah. Like, whatever.
So they are saying that they are going to be pushing out Xbox Live to Nintendo Switch, iOS, and Android devices. I can assure you that it'll probably never show up on PlayStation, but you never know, actually, at this point. You never know.
PlayStation's going to hold out till the absolute last second.
Exactly. But they're really pushing the cross-platform gaming. That's what Microsoft has been saying for how long now? For, what, 4 or 5 years, we want to get into cross-platform gaming. And this is the best way to do it. Now, what are some of the biggest games that are out there right now? Fortnite. That is a huge game. PUBG, huge game. You know, so you take a look at games like that that are huge, that are multiplayer games, and yeah, you can cross-platform play with Fortnite. My kids do it all the time. You know, one son's on his Switch, my other son's on his Xbox, whatever it is they're playing, and they can cross-platform. I don't understand why it works, but it works. Whatever. I'm not a genius when it comes to that stuff, but they figured out it's working. Xbox is just trying to make it easier for everyone now.
Yeah.
Like, essentially, you're going to be able to get Xbox Live service on other devices. So if you want a cross-platform game, you just sign into Xbox Live on any of those devices.
And
if you have Xbox Live on your Xbox, if you have it on your Switch, your account...
I have PlayStation Network on my Xbox, sir.
your account can go from one to the other. So if, you know, my Xbox gamer tag, if anybody cares, is Maniac Hippo. So I can put it on my son's Nintendo Switch... once they, you know, release it,
and just
any
play.
Games that are cross-platform, I can play on my Switch with my friends that are on the Xbox. Like, that is what you can do now, and that's just phenomenal. Like, this is what we've needed for how long now?
It's finally happened. We have reached the golden age of video games.
Exactly.
Like, video games can't get any better.
No, I mean they can't.
I mean they can't, but like cross-platform, like playing with everybody, it can't get any better.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
like it's the peak.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's exciting. And then Respawn Entertainment today, which this was rumored 2 or 3 days ago.
Maybe, yeah.
They were like, so Respawn Entertainment has been working on a Battle Royale game, and it's going to release in 3 days. And people are like, what?
Nah, you're fucking with us.
What? And they weren't wrong. They officially announced it on Monday, and...
It's out now.
It's out now. It's free on Xbox Live, on PlayStation Network. You know, you can go, you can download it and start playing. It's similar to Fortnite in the free-to-play, because it's going to be microtransactions is how they're going to try and make their money.
It's Titanfall Battle Royale.
And that's what it is. I want to check it out.
Yeah, I'm going to download it.
I'm probably going to do it tomorrow when I get home from work. I'm going to just, you know, download it probably while I'm at work, and then check it out whenever I get home tomorrow, because I'm interested. I want to see what it's like.
Yeah. I'm going to download it.
Yeah. So that's exciting. Maybe it's better than Fortnite, and maybe I can get my kids off the Fortnite train.
I love Fortnite. Now you can play real games without 10-year-olds screaming at you.
So that's exciting. You got some
interesting things. Also, rest in spaghetti machinima. Never forgetty.
Yeah, I don't really know what happened there.
They were bought out by another company, and the other company just shut them down.
Is that really what happened?
Yeah, their whole YouTube, everything is privatized.
Wow.
Like, everything they've done in literally since the beginning of YouTube is gone.
That's crazy.
Which is really sad, because they had a lot of great content.
Yeah.
But rest in spaghetti, machinima. Never forgetty.
So you got anything else you want to talk about specifically?
I had a thought. So what if they never come back from the snapping? And they're just replaced with Skrulls?
Well... That's interesting, and you kind of...
I caught you off guard.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Because, like, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, we obviously know it is, but it could happen.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, they're introducing the Skrulls and Captain Marvel. Why wouldn't that be a possibility moving forward to then lead into Secret War at some point?
Yeah, because then you just don't know.
Yeah.
Food for thought.
And keep that one there, because, you know, once we get to our Avengers pregame show...
Everybody Skrulls. Called it.
we'll talk about it then.
Thanos was a Skrull. He was a radical Skrull.
There's that thing that's going around the internet right now about Loki actually being the one controlling Thanos, and I just want to hit the person who made that up, because it's stupid.
I, too, remember what my cousin was also my sister. I remember, too.
So... Jumping in to our Avengers Endgame build-up, lead-up. The first week, we are going to be talking about Heimdall and Loki.
Well, Loki was low-key and died. Spoilers.
So first, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about Heimdall because, you know, he's kind of the lesser of the two.
Obviously.
Popular. But in the comics, did you know that in the comics, Heimdall is technically the brother of Sif.
He's the brother of the Sith.
He's the brother of Lady Sif, which I thought was kind of interesting.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah, in the comics. He is the all-seeing and hearing guardian of Asgard. You know, and just like in the movies, I mean, he stands at the end of Rainbow Road, you know, watching Mario Kart drive by.
Yeah, he's essentially, what's his face on the cloud?
Toad.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember his name either. But no, he stands at the Rainbow Bridge controlling the Bifrost to watch for any attacks against the Asgardians. I think that's just, you know, I mean, that's cool. It's a cool thing to do. Heimdall has never technically died in the comics. I tried to do my research as best as I could. From what I could find, he has never technically died in the comics, as far as I'm aware. However, it was thought that he was dead at one point after there was a false Ragnarok in Asgard, and he was disguised as a human living on Earth. So that was there was a time where they thought he was dead, but he actually wasn't.
He was just like, no, I'm not going to say that on the air.
So yeah, that happened in the comics. So that's Heimdall of the comics. Obviously, there's a whole bunch more that happened with him.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's tons of lore in comics.
But I'm not going to sit here and read off.
This episode would be 4 hours long.
Probably just for
Heimdall.
Yeah, so I'm not going to get into it, but that's just kind of the overview of who he is in the comics. So when we take a look and see him in the movies, we can see that they were staying pretty true to who the character is.
Up until Infinity War when he dies.
His role has grown exponentially over the years of being in the films, because you remember in the first Thor, he was literally the guardian of the Bifrost. Like, he just stood there, and that's all he did. Let's see here. The second Thor, I mean, he had a little bit more to do, but not really. Like, he was still just there.
Yeah, he existed.
And then in Thor Ragnarok...
is where he shined.
He really shines in there, because... he becomes a leader and one of the saviors of the Asgardians.
He's essentially still protecting Asgard.
Exactly. He's probably my favorite character in Ragnarok. Like, I love what they did with his character in that movie, and really gives him something to...
Yeah, gives him depth.
Yeah, and I really like that. And then Avengers Infinity War. Unfortunately, you know, he dies, but his sacrifice at the beginning of that movie... was an absolute necessary one. Utilizing dark energy, he sent the Hulk through the Bifrost to his home planet, Hulk's home planet, planet Earth, to warn the Earthlings or the Avengers or whomever he can about the impending threat of Thanos and his cronies.
Yeah.
That was an important part. And a lot of people go, well, why didn't he send Thor? Why didn't he send Loki? Like, why did he send the Hulk?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, he wouldn't send Loki, but because at that point in time, they weren't attacking Loki, so maybe he thought Loki was kind of in cahoots with him. He didn't send Thor, though, which I thought this was really interesting, because I did some research. He didn't send Thor because using dark energy to call upon the Bifrost is actually very dangerous for anybody to go into the Bifrost at that point in time. It is... The amount of energy that is used in the Bifrost can kill...
Yeah, could disintegrate a body.
Can kill somebody. And while Thor, at full strength, could survive it, at that point in time, he was not at full strength. And sending the Hulk, who we know could... You know, even though he wasn't at full strength...
Can take more of a beating.
And that's kind of why they are saying that the Hulk was sent and not Thor. So that's interesting. Obviously, for story reasons, they sent the Hulk and not Thor. But, again, it was a necessary sacrifice. You know, him doing that, he had to figure he was going to be killed at that point in time. And being stabbed, you know, and dying, that sucks. But
I wish we could have saw more of him fighting against Thanos, like the initial attack.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't have just, like, cowered out and died. Like, he would have been fighting.
Yeah. I mean, and if you really think about it, if he hadn't done that, the whole story would have played out much differently, because Earth
everybody
would have had no idea.
Yeah, everybody would have been annihilated. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, singled out and picked off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which kind of would have been cool.
Would Earth have been so much different? I mean, Iron Man wouldn't have been with Doctor Strange at that point in time, but he wasn't far away from Doctor Strange. Like, he was kind of like, if Tony Stark was out for a run with Pepper and they saw that thing come down to Earth, like, he would, I'm Iron Man, and go to where it was anyway. See, like,
yeah, but I think that Thanos would also have made an appearance. like being maybe secretive.
Maybe.
Like they would have went to nowhere first and then Earth. Maybe. Since Earth had what? Two. Well, no. No, it had two. The Mind Stone was still there, too.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Because then he would have just been able to
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I know what you were thinking. But, like, he would have been able to just focus on one stone at a time.
Yeah.
And just pick everybody off.
So when Endgame is going to begin, obviously Heimdall is still dead. I mean,
yeah, he was before the snap. He's,
he could even be permanently dead.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, we don't know. He was not swept away to the snap, but killed prior by being stabbed in the chest. When Endgame is over. Now, for me, I'll ask you here in a second, but for me, I foresee a handful of characters returning by the end of the film, but is Heimdall one of them?
I could see it. Because he's kind of pivotal to Thor's story. It would be one of those things like, it's like Thor wants him to be back because it was his best friend in the cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Could be an illusion that Thanos plays or something like that. Like, hey, but it's not really him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, him as a character will be in the film, I think, but not perma there.
Yeah.
Or even like the rumored time travel. Like, he might be there in one of the timelines that they create.
Maybe. Now on for the god of lies and mischief, Loki. Now, while in the comics he is not originally the adopted brother of Thor, he was always one of the greatest foes of the gods in the Marvel comics. But in the 1960s, he was reintroduced and readapted as the adopted brother of Thor and became Thor's sworn enemy. That's where he really, you know, took off.
Yeah.
And the craziest thing about Loki is he is considered one of the top five biggest threats in the Marvel comic universe. Like, that is how big of a character he is. So when they brought him into the MCU, it made sense. You know, he had a huge deal in the comics. They bring him into the MCU, it makes complete sense. Now, unlike the films, again, this is from my research, and I'm sorry I have not read all of these comic books that everybody else reads.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have time.
I don't have time.
There's only 24 hours
in a
day.
And I didn't get into comics until much later in life, so, you know, it was kind of tough for me. I'm trying to read comics and get caught up on things as I go along. But so if you want to correct me, if I'm wrong, if you know more, please let me know. But unlike in the films, Loki was actually never killed by Thanos in the comics, nor was he working for him as he was in the first half of the MCU. So
didn't become a joke of a character.
So, like, you know, the big thing, Ragnarok, I know what you're saying. You know, the big thing in MCU is Loki was kind of working for Thanos.
Like, yeah,
that's what he was doing. He supposedly was going to Earth to get the stone, one of the Infinity Stones through the Tesseract. But that was, I've always believed this, that it was just Loki manipulating Thanos into giving him an army to go to Earth to get it so he can utilize it to then become the ruler of Asgard.
Yeah.
That was his whole plan. Just like Ronan in Guardians of the Galaxy, he wanted the stone to be the ruler. He didn't want to get the stone for Thanos, even though Thanos was instructing him to get it for him.
Yeah.
That kind of thing, you know?
It makes sense.
So,
They're bad guys. They got bad intentions.
Exactly. They always have bad intentions. So at the end of Infinity War. So let me talk about the MCU. So in the MCU, Loki has had one of the most interesting and most developed
His character development's a roller coaster.
Absolutely. And I love it. Absolutely love it. Now, he did start off as a jealous brother, looking to not only rule Asgard, Starting off as a jealous brother, looking to not only rule Asgard, it is later discovered that he was working for the mad Titan Thanos in attempts to collect the Soul Stones. Even though it appears Loki never had any intentions of handing over the stone that he came across, but rather use it himself in completing his own goal of taking over Asgard. The relationship with Loki and his brother Thor has been a rocky one in the films, but one that has been the most compelling. Neither ever wants to see the other die, but always attempt to one-up each other whenever there is a chance.
Yeah.
And that dynamic between the two, I think, has been great. And if they ever stop making Thor movies, I'm going to be sad with that, because I liked that dynamic between
the two. And it really does come to a head in Infinity War.
Yeah, it really does.
Like,
now, sadly, it appears Loki may have finally found himself truly defeated by the hands of Thanos in the beginning of Infinity War, when his neck is broken after trying to take out Thanos himself.
And that was gruesome.
Yeah.
Even for an MCU film, that was gruesome.
I didn't see that coming.
Like, I mean, I figured he was going to die, like, watching that for the first time, but literally snapping his neck.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's pretty crazy.
That's dark. Yeah. It was dope, though.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah.
But just watching Thor, like, literally lose his best friend. He lost his dad a couple months ago, years ago. I mean, I don't know the whole thing in Ragnarok.
Interesting to note, in the books, while Loki has, you know, been here, there, been different iterations, stuff like that, keep in mind that in the books, he has disguised himself as Scarlet Witch and Lady Sif in the past. So that's interesting to keep note of. And he was killed off and reincarnated as a young boy at one point. So
I would like the idea of reincarnation with him.
Yeah, so it could be interesting to see where they go with him here. Because
I mean, reincarnation exists. Like, Groot isn't the same Groot from Guardians 1.
Like, imagine, like, if they do end up going to Secret Wars or Secret Invasion or whatever it is, and they get into that, and they're like, Skrulls are disguised as humans, blah, blah, blah. But then you come across one that is actually Loki in disguise.
Yeah.
And Loki pops back up in, like, 8 years from now when they're doing Secret War. Yeah, like, that
would
be cool.
I would get behind it.
I think that'd be kind of cool. So that entire time, we're thinking it's actually Scarlet Witch or Lady Sif or something like that, but it's actually Loki the entire time.
Loki being Loki.
So when Endgame begins, without a doubt, we know... we know he's dead.
Yeah, but, same case as Heimdall.
Yeah, but the difference here is we know we're going to see him again in Endgame. Yeah. There have been leaked set photos that have us going back to the Battle of New York from the first Avengers film, and he played a huge, huge role.
Just
in that
minimal role.
So the question is, will there be more Loki than just in those flashbacks or whatever they're doing with the movie there? That's the question.
I hope. I mean, his character, I mean, I know Rachel would have an uproar about it, but I think his character is strong enough they should keep him around, even if it's like, we know you still are, like, dead at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, we may have created a timeline, but you're still technically dead.
Yeah, yeah. So when Endgame is over, is he going to be alive or dead? So, first off, I want to say, yes, there is a Loki TV show in the works, so obviously the first thought of everybody's going to be like, well... If there's a TV show, he's going to come out of Endgame alive.
Not necessarily.
The rumors have it that the TV series will be set in the past, which means there's a high probability that Loki is gone for good and may never be seen again in the MCU once Phase 3 is wrapped up this April.
Which is sad. But again, you could do reincarnation. And
yeah, you can do different things with
it. They just don't know what they want to do yet.
No, I'm sure they know what they want to do. But who knows?
Skrulls are everywhere. Are you a Skrull?
Maybe. So that's it. That's what our look at these characters leading up to Endgame is going to be about. That's what we're going to do from this week until
literally April.
Yeah, until the week that Endgame comes out. We're going to also have a special episode where we're going to have a bunch of people on there talking in our Avengers pregame episode.
And probably the postgame.
And we'll have the same thing for the postgame episode. So I'm looking forward to that. I hope you're all looking forward to it. If I said something wrong in here, please let me know, because like I said, I'm not perfect. I did as much research as I could.
Nobody's perfect. I'm going to work it.
So let me know if I'm wrong, because I want to know and I want to correct it. So I want to have some corrections next episode, people. Well, I don't want corrections. But if there are things that I messed up on and you want me to correct it, let me know. Throw me a tweet on Twitter, you know, jump in our Facebook group, or, you know, email us bridgingthegeekdoms@hotmail.com. Let me know if I screwed up, and I will definitely give you credit for correcting me on that episode, on the next episode after getting that.
We're at Hotmail because our shit's hot.
Yeah. But that's all I really got today, guys. I mean, I don't really have much more. We talked a little bit about what happened this past week. We are starting to get amped and excited for Endgame. Every week it's going to be just a build up to bigger and bigger characters. You know, every week it's going to be like, here's these characters, and they're going to get a little bit more important to the story all the way up until Endgame. So keep that in mind, and thanks for listening. Check out Fandom Vibe. There's going to be some cool things popping up on there. You might actually see these little tidbits about the characters, the spotlights on these characters leading up to Endgame on Fandom Vibe, but you'll also find some other things. There's a really cool one right now with Captain Marvel. Soon we're going to have the one about the Skrulls on there as well, so keep a lookout for that on the Fandom Vibe. help out John Horsley, guys. The Ainz Anthology. I'm so excited about that book. I cannot wait for it. So please check it out. Go to his Kickstarter, donate or whatever it is. Support him. Check out his website, the AinzAnthology.com. I can't talk right now. Check that out. Also, make sure you hit up our network sister podcast, R3 with JH.
Excellent. Hey, you got it right this time.
Yeah, yeah. Nerdtalkalypse podcast, Fandom Vibe.
Gaming Corner is out Friday.
There we go. Colton's Gaming Corner is going to be out Friday, so we got that going for us. So check out those shows. Let us know. Please rate us on iTunes. Let us know what you like.
Leave us a review. You know what? I'll give you my PayPal if you're going to put $3,000 in it.
So that's it, guys. Thanks for listening, and we will talk at you next week.
Bye.